Thank you.
Once council tables are cleared, if our parties for Pyramid Lake Paiute Tribe versus State Engineer, if they'll come forward and begin to get ready. If the parties are ready to proceed, please do so. Please state your name and if you wish to reserve it at any time.
Good morning. My name is Chris Mixon for the appellant Pyramid Lake Paiute Tribe. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes, please. And may it please the court. The issue before you this morning is very simple. Whether to reverse the state engineer's legal conclusion that respondent Jackrabbit Properties' permanent water right is not subject to statutory forfeiture pursuant to NRS 534.090. That statute reads in relevant part, failure for 5 successive years on the part of the holder of any right, whether it is an adjudicated right, an unadjudicated right, or a permanent right, to use beneficially all or any part of the underground water for the purpose for which the right is acquired or claimed, works a forfeiture of both undetermined rights and determined rights to the use of that water.
Council, let me ask you this. What does NRS 533.380 subsection 1 mean to you for the time period? The time limit goes up to 10 years to get a permit. How does that interplay with this, with the other 534.090?
Your Honor, 533.380 is the statute that deals with the state engineer putting conditions into a permit requiring the holder of that permitted right to put the water to beneficial use and complete the works that's drilling the wells and installing pumps and all that sort of thing. Those provisions in Chapter 533 are discretionary for the state engineer. They give him the ability to set up permit terms that the permit holder must meet in order to perfect the permit and have it transformed into a certificate. Mm-hmm. That's different than forfeiture.
So given that discretion, how do you square that section that would allow the state engineer to have 10 years or to provide the permittee with 10 years with the 5-year forfeiture section? It doesn't make sense to me that you might be able to give someone 10 years to do something, but then in the very next step, we take that away. So we really didn't mean the 10 years.
Well, I think I can answer that by pointing you to subsection 2, 534.090, which allows the holder of the permitted right to request an extension of the time to work a forfeiture from the state engineer.
Isn't that a bit absurd that we give you 10, but we're going to make you go through this absurd step of asking for a couple of more years, i.e. 5 years in this case, even though we already gave you 10?
I wouldn't characterize it as absurd. I mean, I understand that the statutes aren't perfect, but I don't think it's absurd. The purpose of forfeiture is to meet Nevada's overall policy in the water law of beneficial use of the water. The idea is you need to use your water right or you lose it. There's less discretion there than there is for the state engineer. So the state engineer can give someone up to 10 years to perfect the right, but the forfeiture statute says if it's more than 5, you need to start requesting extensions.
Thank you, counsel.
So despite the express inclusion of the term permitted right in the forfeiture statute, both the respondent, Nevada State Engineer, and the district court below made the legal conclusion that a permitted water right, such as held by Jackrabbit Properties here, is not subject to forfeiture. And as I alluded to earlier, the overriding policy of the Nevada water law is beneficial use of the water. In Nevada, you don't own the water. The state owns the water. You own a right to use the water. If you don't use it, you lose it. And that's statutory. Chapter NRS 533.035 says beneficial use of water is the basis, the measure, and the limit of a water right. Forfeiture is intended to effectuate that purpose by insisting that the water be put to use at least one time every 5 years. That's all that's required. You need to use your water at least once every 5 years. And if you don't, you can even request an extension of that time. Now, because the tribe is here asking the court to review the legal conclusion of the state engineer, the standard is de novo. The state engineer's interpretation of the statute is entitled to no deference. As I said, it goes against the clear, plain language of the statute, which expressly includes the term permitted right. The statute also says, quote, any right. I can't think of a more broader
excuse
term.
Excuse me, counsel. I'd like to question you about a principle that you just spoke of. You said because we review the statute de novo, we afford no deference to the administrative agency. I don't think that's the rule. In fact, in Pyramid versus Washoe County, we said that we do afford deference to the administrative agency to construe the statutes. I don't know of a case that says that because we review the statute de novo, we ignore any deference to the administrative agency. Is that what you meant?
If you look at the language of the case you cited, it says the state engineer's legal opinion is entitled to deference when it is within the language of the statute. The state engineer here has said that forfeiture does not apply to a permitted right, yet the statute includes a permitted right in the list of the types of rights that apply.
Well, that isn't all the state engineer has said. The state engineer says that I have to harmonize these statutes. Justice Sata mentioned one. There may be some others. And in harmonizing the administration of these statutes, I'm going to view this language as applying to certificated rights, not permitted rights. And they've done it for 70 years. Looks like the legislature's had a couple of shots at this subject and done nothing with it. Why shouldn't we afford not only deference to the state engineer, but also to the legislature's inaction in the face of that interpretation?
Well, again, you only reach interpretation of a statute when its language isn't clear. And here, the statute is clear, and it couldn't be any more clear. Mm. Forfeiture applies to any right, including a permitted right. There's no reason to go into the different canons of statutory construction when the statute itself is clear. That goes for harmonizing, attempting to harmonize the statute, as well as the legislative acquiescence and all of those sort of interpretive arguments. Along those lines, the term permitted right in the forfeiture statute has been defined by this court already. In 2008, in the Anderson Family Associates versus Ritchie case, this court defined a permanent right as a right granted after the state engineer approves an application for water rights. Such a permit grants the right to develop specific amounts of water for a designated purpose. That is precisely the type of right held by Jackrabbit Properties here. Jackrabbit has a permit to go and drill its well. After it drills its well, it needs to put the water to use and provide proof of that beneficial use to the state engineer. That is exactly what it means to have a permitted right. And that's exactly what the statute means when it uses the term permitted right. So the only way to conclude that a water right permit like Jackrabbit Properties is not subject to forfeiture is to completely ignore the clear, plain language of the forfeiture statute. Here it's undisputed that Jackrabbit's right is a permanent water right. the district court's final order made that finding, that it expressly said Jackrabbit's permit is a permitted water right, and it said that that fact is undisputed. So the permit granted to Jackrabbit is permit number 52136. It was originally issued by the state engineer on October 22, 2002. According to the forfeiture statute, Jackrabbit had 5 years, so up to October 22, 2007, to beneficially use the water. At the time of state engineer ruling number 5840, which is the subject of this appeal, Jackrabbit had not beneficially used its water yet. The state engineer for 5 years, yet the state engineer found that the water right was not forfeited. However, had Jackrabbit wanted to extend the time to work a forfeiture to prevent a forfeiture, it could have done so. As I said, NRS 534.090 subsection 2 allows the holder to request an extension of the time to work a forfeiture. All you need to show is good cause, or you can show the unavailability of water. It's not clear to me from the state engineer's ruling what the reason is that Jackrabbit Water Rights couldn't put its water to beneficial use, but it did request to change the location of its well. That could be good cause, or that could be the unavailability of water, which would allow it to seek an extension of forfeiture. I'd like to address some of the defenses to the application of forfeiture that I think the state engineer and possibly Jackrabbit Properties will raise. The state engineer has maintained throughout this case that Jackrabbit's permitted water right can't be subject to forfeiture because it was in, quote, good standing according to the terms of the permit. But those terms have no effect on the state engineer's, no effect on the operation of statutory forfeiture. Good standing simply means that the permit holder is within the rights, within the terms of the permit as provided by the state engineer. But because the state engineer's decision is that forfeiture doesn't apply, the being in good standing with the permit has no effect on whether the water right is subject to forfeiture. Good standing is not a legal term. It's a term of art by the state engineer. I suspect we'll also hear that forfeiture only applies to certificated or perfected water rights and not inchoate water rights, such as a permitted water right. They have cited a case from Wyoming in 1940 called Campbell versus Wyoming Development Company for that proposition. But that case interpreted Wyoming statute, not Nevada's. Nevada's forfeiture statute says it applies to, quote, any right, and it applies to a permanent right. The Wyoming statute doesn't have that language. So Wyoming's interpretation of its own statute, it provides no help to us here. And further, and this is important, this court has already held that the forfeiture provisions of Nevada law do apply to inchoate permitted water rights. In the Henry Mance Spring case from 1940, this court explained, and I'm going to read from that case, forfeiture as applied to water rights is the penalty fixed by statute for the failure to do or the unnecessary delay in doing certain acts tending toward the consummation of a right within a specified time, or after consummation of the right, the failure to use the same for the period specified by statute. The Mance Spring case held clearly that when you hold a permit that you are intending to consummate your water right, now we say perfect, forfeiture still applies.
So how could a applicant or a permittee get an extension for 5 more years under the statute that allows them to satisfy their requirements for 10 years?
Well, only a municipal entity could get a 5-year extension. A permit holder like Jackrabbit, who's non-municipal, gets a 1-year extension.
All right. How do they get 1 year under your argument?
I think they would simply include in their request for an extension of the time of their permit itself, which they did. They also request an extension for the time to work a forfeiture under 534.090 sub 2. I think it's simply just a letter to the state engineer saying, we're trying to perfect our right. We ran into trouble. this is the trouble we ran into. We request a one-year extension. And I think if the state engineer finds...
So one letter would affect a request for extension under both statutes?
I think as long as you said you're requesting an extension under both statutes, I don't see any reason why I wouldn't. Forfeiture is strict statute. You could lose your right, but at the same time, it's not very hard to meet. You use your water once in 5 years or a simple request for an extension.
If the state engineer in the first instance has given you 10 years to accomplish the permit, why wouldn't we deem that action as satisfying the extension request under 090?
Because I don't read 090 to say that. I think that it says the permittee has to request an extension in order to extend the time to work a forfeiture.
But you've been given a de facto extension by the fact you've been given 10 years as opposed to 5. Is the way the state engineer apparently is reading this.
The 10-year time limit is for the permit terms granted by the state engineer. That's different than the forfeiture period. So I don't read complying with one statute as a de facto compliance with another.
But if you don't have an obligation to use a right for 10 years, if you've been granted this period of time to do all of your work to get a perfected right, why can't that be viewed as a de facto extension?
Well, I guess I don't think of the permit terms as saying you don't have an obligation to use your right for 10 years. It's saying we'll give you up to 10 years to perfect your right. But perfection is only proof of use.
But then if that's the case, then why didn't we limit or why isn't the state engineer's authority to grant a 10-year permit limited or prohibited? I mean, I just don't see how we are going to harmonize, under your theory, harmonize these various sections of the statutory scheme.
The state engineer is limited in only granting a permit term for 10 years. And exceed that.
Okay, so maybe I misstated my question. If he or she or they are allowed to give a 10-year permit time period, how then does the 5-year limitation or the request for an extension apply? Why don't we simply say they can only be given in 5-year increments?
I'm afraid I don't quite understand your question.
I guess and I don't mean to eat up your time. I guess my point goes back to what Justice Perry said and what I asked you before. It makes no sense to me that in one part of the statute we allow the state engineer to provide a 10-year permitting period, as Justice Perry pointed out, that might suggest you've got time to perfect this. But then on the other hand, another section of the statute says, well, we really didn't mean you have 10 years because you got to come back and either ask for an extension or somehow use your land, the water. Sorry.
Well, to me, the question whether it makes sense or not isn't a question you need to reach because the statute is so clear.
Well, but let me use statutory interpretation language. We do, in fact, have to harmonize all sections of a statute in order that they should be read together and make sense and not produce an absurd result. You, of course, have to agree with that.
I agree with that. And I think the way you can do that in this instance is to require the holder of a permitted water right to seek one-year extensions of the time to work a forfeiture, even when the state engineer has given them 10 years.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you very much.
May it please the court, I'm Michael Wohls, Senior Deputy Attorney General for the State of Nevada, appearing today on behalf of the Nevada State Engineer, Jason King. And with leave of the court, I would like to reserve 4 minutes for the argument of counsel for Jackrabbit Properties. The question before the court today is, of course, one of legislative intent. And legislative intent must be determined from the entire statute, not from a single word or sentence or even from a single section, but from the entire statute.
Doesn't your construction, in effect, read the word permitted out of 534090?
No.
Explain for me, if you would, why.
First, as I was stating, all of the terms of the statute have to be harmonized, and meaning has to be given to all of their parts. That is the case whether a term is ambiguous or not. The tribe's interpretation is inconsistent with some specific provisions of the permitting regime, and specifically NRS 533-380. As a consequence, it renders specific terms to be surplusage or irrelevant. When the state engineer grants a permit, he's required to set forth specifically two dates. One, the date on which works must be completed that will convey the water to the place of use. And second, the date on which the water must actually be put to beneficial use. And by statute, that cannot be less than 5 years, and as has been stated, can be as long as 10 years.
Doesn't he have to come in then and the permittee come in and ask for extensions after the 5 years? Isn't that also set forth in our statutory scheme?
Absolutely. And there are differing standards for a extension of time under the forfeiture statute and under the permitting statutes. I think to get more, now that I've laid that foundation, to get directly to your question, I would refer the court to the history that's set forth in the amicus brief for some detailed discussion. However, it's very interesting to note when the forfeiture statute and the permitting provisions were first passed for surface water in 1913 and for groundwater in 1939, there was no provision in the code for an extension of time to avoid a forfeiture. So that created a direct conflict at that point, if we accept the interpretation of the tribe, that at that point in history, the legislature was saying the state engineer can grant up to 10 years plus extensions, but what we really mean is 5 years, and it's an absolute hard rule. You have to put the water under the forfeiture statute. That's a direct contradiction. And that has to be reconciled at this point. In addition, and again, I would refer you to the brief of the amicus. At that time, there was a distinct understanding of what a water right was and what a permit was. The original statute referred to water rights. Several treatises at that time pointed out that a right was a certificate, an actual, hard, identified right perfected through use, whereas permit was considered a license or a tentative right based on that eventual actual use. There's been some unusual evolution of the language, but none of it seems to indicate that there was any intent on the part of the legislature to change what a right meant in that context, or that they were referring now to permits rather than a certificated perfected right. This points, I believe, to another contradiction in the argument. If we're going to take the language literally, look no further than the word permitted and stopped, then the only logical conclusion is that the legislature intended that a permit would be subject to forfeiture, but a certificated right, which is not mentioned anywhere within the forfeiture statutes, would not be subject to forfeiture. Now, of course, to say that strains at logic is somewhat of an understatement. That someone who does not have an obligation.
But is that a fair reading of 534.0901? Because it says, except as otherwise provided in this section, not 533, whatever, failure for 5 successive years on the part of a holder of any right. So and then, any would presumptively include certificated rights as well as permitted rights. And it goes on to say whether it is an adjudicated right, an unadjudicated right, or a permitted right. I mean, it seems to me the statute's trying to say any right whatsoever and then give some examples.
Well, first, it's noteworthy that every right known under Nevada water law is identified in that laundry list except a certificated right. I think the only logical reading of that is when they referred to permitted rights, they were in fact referring to the permitting system.
So and they said permitted but meant certificated? Is that what you're saying?
I believe the context of the statute leads to that conclusion, and that's in fact...
doesn't that, Mr. Walls, get back to your point that there's a difference in the standard that's applied to extend the 5-year beneficial use for a certificated water right versus the extension necessary for a permitted water right? Perhaps you could discuss the difference in those standards and why that's relevant to the interpretation of Section 2 of this statute.
In order to get an extension of time on a permit, it's necessary that you show good cause for why you've been unable to put the water to beneficial use. That is the express standard in NRS 533-380. However, in order to grant an extension of time under the forfeiture statute, there is a laundry list set forth in subsection 2 of 534-090. And as you go through that list, all of those reference specifically circumstances that would keep someone from continuing to put their water right to beneficial use. There's a presumption in that list that the water, that the works are available to put that water right to use, and that something, and that the water has been put to use, and that something has intervened in the interim. Besides the standard for the granting of the extensions of time, there are a number of contradictions or varying standards that apply between cancellation and forfeiture. Of course, the one that jumps out that we've discussed rather extensively is the timing, the 10-year requirement to the 5-year. However, it's also the amount of discretion that the state engineer has. The legislature said 5 years for forfeiture. Over time, they've granted him some discretion in granting extensions. But the state engineer is granted free discretion on the amount of time that he may grant up to a ceiling of 10 years for a permit, and granting the amount that when the water should be put to beneficial use and the work's completed. The law abhors a forfeiture. That's a standard of this court, and there's no such limitation on cancellation. A cancellation is appealable to the state engineer, not to a district court. And the state engineer can reinstate a cancellation, which he may not do with a forfeiture. Albeit in reinstating a cancellation, there is a loss of priority. The standards for a permit and for forfeiture are considerably different. And the standard for a permit is that someone is moving forward to the development of that right with reasonable diligence. And the state engineer sets the standards, the amount of time to do that, based on that standard. Using reasonable diligence, how long will it take? When he grants extensions, he refers to that as well. Are they moving forward with reasonable diligence? If it appears they're not doing so, he can call for proofs at any time. The standard for forfeiture is use or non-use. That's a direct contradiction that I don't believe can be reconciled in the statute. How, on the one hand, holding a permit, my obligation is to move forward with reasonable diligence, and yet at the same time, on a shorter time frame, I'm required to make actual use of that water. In addition, a forfeiture has to be proven by clear and convincing evidence. The notice on a cancellation is 30 days. The state engineer gives you 30 days notice that you'd better prove up that water or file an extension of time and justify yourself. And for a forfeiture, that period of time is 1 year. These are all unique procedural provisions that apply specifically to permits. They can't be reconciled with the forfeiture of water right. The tribe's argument that, well, all they have to do is file an extension of time. There's no justification given for why permit holders are required to go through this, what is basically a paper game. If the state engineer, hypothetically, has granted someone 10 years to put a water right to beneficial use, and at 5 years, for they haven't put the water to beneficial use, now under the tribe's interpretation, they need to file for an extension. What are the circumstances under which the state engineer could deny that request for extension of time? They're within the term of the permit. As the state engineer has put it, that permit is in good standing. He'd, of course, have to grant that. The impact of this, first of all, there's no justification for requiring someone to do this. This is a paper trap that's going to injure people for no public policy reason that can be identified.
Is that an issue for the legislature, though, rather than the court?
I think since we're here under the circumstances of this case, attempting to determine what the intent of the legislature was, I think we have to assume that they were functioning logically and that consistently and trying to promote the underlying policy of Nevada's water law, which is beneficial use. Having these redundant parallel systems, these parallel time frames with multiple extensions of time and standards simply isn't logical. The state engineer has interpreted the statute in this manner since it was enacted. There have been no examples given of a circumstance where the state engineer has forfeited a permitted water right. The legislature has had ample time to step in and correct his interpretation if they feel it's wrong. I think we have to determine that they've acquiesced. In addition, the state engineer in 1995, as the forfeiture statute was being amended, testified specifically the manner in which he handled permits and certificates and forfeiture.
Mr. Walls, I have one final question before you sit down. Has the state engineer made an assessment of the number of permitted water rights in this state that would be immediately forfeited were this court to adopt the Pyramid Tribe's interpretation of the statute proffered today?
He's not, Your Honor. It would be new.
Would it approach the chaos created by the opinion on the Great Basin matter?
I would suspect it would exceed it significantly. It would involve, I would suspect, thousands of permits. That it's obviously an estimate. And the clock would have run for a large number of these permits, taking the permit holders, including Jackrabbit, completely by surprise. I would also mention that it would put a significant strain on the state engineer's office to now have these hundreds, thousands of requests for extension of time now suddenly before him, and would, even for those who do not lose their water rights, who are informed in time and can react, would be a significant expense over time to keep these water rights in good standing, again, without any really clear policy as to why that should be. Thank you.
If it pleases the court, Pierre Hasheff on behalf of Jackrabbit. My argument is going to be limited to the equitable jurisdiction of this court. Jackrabbit obviously joined in the state engineer's brief because we agree that the state engineer followed the statutory process and their statutory duties. If the tribe prevails, it's our opinion that one ignores the rest of the water code and 50-plus years of practice. Also, I believe Tomo's brief very well explained what the term permitted mean, and that same point was brought up to the district court when we were before the district court on appeal. However, if the court accepts the tribe's argument, that means that there is going to be a retroactive forfeiture of permit water rights. Therefore, we request the court exercise their equitable powers. Instead of a forfeiture, the court can craft the equitable remedy and allow Jackrabbit and really thousands of permittees to at least have a one-year notice of forfeiture, the 30-day notice of forfeiture, and at least the right to appeal that's provided in the code, which no one has received to date. That's because the tribe now requires a new procedure that has never been used before. And those cases are on page 23 to 25 of the state engineer's brief. The court has confirmed that it will not punish an applicant if the state engineer does not follow its statutory duty, and an applicant has a right to rely on the state engineer's process. So why this case? Why is equitable relief appropriate? First of all, Jackrabbit timely filed for every extension, and the state engineer timely granted every extension. As a result, its permits have always been in good standing. Jackrabbit has spent approximately, along with Great Power Company, Granite Fox, approximately $2 million in developing this water resource. That includes wells, stream gauges, maintenance studies, etc. It's not just Jackrabbit that's at risk here. It's thousands of others, including Tumwa, that will forfeit several million dollars of due diligence costs without prior notice, which would be absolutely devastating. This would be Jackrabbit and others that would retroactively forfeit their permits even though they never received the one-year notice under 090, never received the 30-day statutory notice, and never had an opportunity to appeal. One final closing point. The reason it takes so long to prove up the beneficial use is the tribe protests these applications, just like they protested this application and the prior applications filed by Jackrabbit and Granite Fox. To argue that somehow you have to put your water to beneficial use within a five-year period when there's years and years of delays when you're going through this appeal process and protest process, to us is ingenuous, and equity should not stand for a forfeiture. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think I may have eaten up all my time on the opening, but if I could just have a couple of minutes.
Very briefly, counsel.
I'll start with what Mr. Hassef just said, that Jackrabbit was unable to put its water to beneficial use because the tribe protested its applications. Whether or not the tribe protested its applications has no effect because the five-year forfeiture period does not start until you're issued the permit by the state engineer. So upon issuance of the permit, Jackrabbit's 5 years starts to run, and there's nothing the tribe can do.
Wasn't it conceded in the briefing on appeal that at the time you made your challenge, only 4 years had passed?
Yes.
And now that's obviously correct. Past that four-year period, but...
Well, that has... I mean, there's no other way, really, for the tribe to insert that protest ground into its protest of their change application. The state engineer does not allow the amendment of a protest after the protest period is closed. I think this came up in the Great Basin case. So if we think during the time the state engineer is considering a change application that 5 years will run, we have to make that protest.
So you're anticipating that they can't comply within their five-year period of time?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, yes.
Mr. Nixon, what is your response to Mr. Hasschef's argument that the court should, if it adopts your reading of the statute, do so prospectively? In Great Basin, the court was requested and did fashion an equitable resolution to the requirement to, in effect, act on applications within 1 year, a ruling that was something that hadn't existed for many, many years. Why shouldn't we adopt an equitable rule in this case?
In the Great Basin case, I think the equitable decision by this court on rehearing had a lot to do with the fact that Southern Nevada Water Authority was going to lose the water rights it applied for because of the state engineer's inaction. Here, Jackrabbit is threatened with its loss of water rights because of its own inaction. And I think this court's prior cases in the water law context providing equity all share at least one fact, which is the actual use of the water.
But the state engineer didn't give Jackrabbit a one-year notice of forfeiture.
That's true, but the very last sentence of 534.090 subsection 1 says the failure to receive a notice from the state engineer does not nullify a forfeiture. So I think while the state engineer is required to send a notice, I don't think that's the only way Jackrabbit could be put on notice. And in fact, as we discussed, the tribe's protest of Jackrabbit's water right on forfeiture grounds was before the running of the five-year period. Jackrabbit got a copy of that protest and still did not request an extension. It was put on notice of the threat of forfeiture.
And based upon the Water Commissioner's interpretation of the statute, why can't Jackrabbit rely on that?
Rely on the failure to receive a notice?
Rely on the fact that they're not going to forfeit a permitted water right within that five-year period when you've granted 10 years on a application.
Again, I think that goes to the policy behind forfeiture, which is use it or lose it.
There's nothing to use. If you've got 10 years to perfect a water right and you haven't gotten to that point, there's nothing to use.
Well, 10 years to perfect a water right doesn't mean you wait for 4 years and file a change application and say we haven't been able to perfect. It means
but there's no indication
to work diligently toward perfection.
There's no indication that they sat on their rights or their development plan in this case.
The only thing the record says is that there was a mistake in their original permit for the location of the well. That's all we know. That's their stated reason for seeking a change application.
But again, in the application under 533, wouldn't it be the Water Commissioner's right to say, okay, this particular application, you're looking at a 10-year period of time before you're ever going to get a perfected right because of the nature of the infrastructure, whatever you have to do to perfect that right. why isn't it entirely within his discretion to make that call?
Forfeiture is an operation of law. It's not like cancellation where the state engineer has more discretion. The only discretion provided to the state engineer under forfeiture is whether to grant an extension, not whether a forfeiture has in fact occurred.
Councilman, if you have a closing point, please make it.
No, I'll just stop there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. With that, we thank you for the arguments made this morning. This matter stands submitted. We're going to take a short recess before we take our final matter of the morning.